Good morning. Glad you guys could join us today for EMP. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 15. Verse 1 to 15. Acts chapter 13, 1 to 15. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. And when they had gone through the whole island, as far as Paphos, they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsuls Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath they went into the synagogue and sat down. And after reading of the law and the prophets, of the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Amen. Just a few things here this morning. In verse 2, it says, "And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called them.'" I just came back from this past week from a wedding in Hawaii. But prior to that, I was in Uzbekistan for a mission trip. We had left 12 SPers there, and we had an amazing time. God showed up faithfully. And one thing that you read here that isn't mentioned is as Paul and Barnabas are getting set out, you know, to go to their first missionary journey. You don't see any recognition or pointing out of towards like a missions training, right? It didn't say like, and so for the next 8 weeks they met every Saturday morning and you know, did missions training. All to say, there's a fuller class leadership course by Bobby Clinton. I never had taken it, but a friend of mine had, and he would always say, ministry comes out of being, right? Ministry comes out of being. And basically, in verse 2, it says, while they were ministering to the Lord, in other words, while they were seeking the Lord, while they were serving, while they were, in essence, setting themselves apart, as they were doing this, the Spirit came upon them, and the Lord says, "I have set these two apart." And so it's just a reminder to us that, you know, something like missions or you know, some events in church gear up. And sometimes we get in this mode like, yeah, I have to become more spiritual. I have to get my act together. You know, a lot of people, and I know this to be true, when they consider missions, it's something, yeah, it's an opportunity for me to get back on track. But that's not the case. God calls us as we're continually seeking, as we're continually ministering, serving, making ourselves available. It's an overflow. Our relationship with God becomes an overflow of things, and God calls us for the things He's intended. And so one of the things this speaks into is that we have an expectation that God has something for us, and that expectation will produce preparation, right? In the sense of seeking after the Lord and having ourselves continually prepared for what God has intended. Going out in verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And the scriptures here don't break down exactly the process by which they decided their charting or their course, but it makes very clear in verse 4, and you can highlight this or circle this, being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's different than being sent out by a mission board, or that's different than being sent out by, like, you know, I have a strategic plan and I feel like this is how it'll unload. It's not to say that these things didn't happen, that there wasn't a process or an administration, but it makes very clear here that however this process, however they decided, however the council, whoever spoke, that it was attributed to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I shared with you guys some time ago in a message, I had met this South Korean woman who would work 6 months in South Korea, and then she would earn up enough funds so that for the next 6 months of the year, she could go out on missions. And I met this person face-to-face, and she prayed over me. But before I had met her, my friend had told me about her and had told me this amazing testimony last year, in 08, 6 months she had worked, you know, produced enough funds so that she's an acupuncturist, and then she would go out to wherever the Lord would lead. So she would just be sitting in a room praying. You know, China would come over her mind, or Cambodia or whatnot. And this time, I don't know if it was the first or second time, God spoke clearly to her that it would be China. But where in China was not specified. So she would go out, and she just flew into Beijing or the capital, and then from there, she would just kind of sit and chill and just continue seeking the Lord, just continue fellowshipping with him, complete trust. And then the Lord would speak onto her, okay, go to this village on a map or whatnot. And again, she would just go, not knowing what she's going to do, not knowing how she should prepare, but completely relying and being dependent on the Holy Spirit. And she went there and made herself available, was faithful, and it was there at this region, in this little village, that there was actually a missionary team. And a pastor from, I believe, South Korea. And the day before, he had played soccer and had badly injured his ankle to the point where he couldn't walk. And so right there, it's kind of like, Holy Spirit connection. Okay, God, now I know why I'm here. And so she goes in and she introduces herself, you know, totally just random, but being led by the Spirit, and prays over this pastor. This pastor gets completely healed. And through that, you know, the villagers start to bring people from their community to get healed by this woman. And she would just pray over them. And she would do, she was gifted in acupuncture. And so, all that God had planned out, you know, this wasn't the first time that she had experienced this. You know, be faithful, hear from the Lord, go, even if you don't know. And that's biblical if you think about it. Even Abraham, God called him out and set him apart, said, go and leave your family. But where and what details and how? That God would provide. And so she did this, and it was an amazing testimony, and he told me, and this woman had raised someone from the dead, and all starts, right? It's not like she had this, you know, whole plan charted out, but it all starts with this attitude that I'm going to prepare myself, that I'm going to have an expectation that God has something for me, and that I'm going to continually be in a position, in an intimate relationship with the Lord, that when he calls, I know where to go. I know what to do. I know how to listen. And so in verse 4, again, just being sent out by the Holy Spirit, going out into verse 10, and it's kind of a side thing, but I did want to touch upon it. As Paul's going out ministering, and as he comes and he wants to evangelize and speak to the proconsul, there's obviously, when the word of God wants to be presented, there's always going to be opposition, right? Whether in flesh, whether spiritually, whether mentally, physically. So always be prepared for that. And in this particular case, there's a guy named Elymas, or Bar-Jesus as he was known, and he came against them. And what I want to kind of point out on this in verse 10, I'm going to digress a little bit. It's basically a rebuke, and Paul rebukes this person because he's coming against the word of the Lord, and he knows what God has intended. And the thing about a rebuke, you know, if you're on the receiving end, you know, I'm not just speaking for myself when I say this. You know, it's not a fun thing necessarily. You know, rebukes come in all sorts of packages. In this particular one, you could say, you know, generally as a Christian, I would say, you know, when you rebuke someone, you want to do it in love. And that we refer to when we're, you know, when we're want to correct or bring into the light possibly a wrongdoing or something of another believer. You want to make sure you do that in a loving, gentle manner. In this particular case, Paul is rebuking someone who's not a believer and totally just you know, in a way, disarming him. But when you're rebuking a believer, you know, there's a certain way to go about it. Personally, I think a rebuke shouldn't be done over an email. I don't know, Hong Kong or culture or whatnot, you know, I don't have time, I'm busy, I'm working, you know, here, let me just kind of break this off on someone. But if you're going to be loving about it, if you're seriously concerned about how another person's going to respond, then you should take the time to, you know, set aside a time to maybe over some coffee or maybe at church or before or after a meeting. And a rebuke should come, I would say even, it shouldn't even come over a phone. You know, it's just, there's certain nuances and gestures and mannerisms or whatnot. You know, if you're going to rebuke someone and you're truly have their heart in mind, it should come face to face. Now, I know that's not always ideal, and if whatnot, you know, you're traveling. All to say, on the other end, there's a way to receive a rebuke. And this is, I think, the tricky part. And this is, I think, you know, a rebuke, however it's given, you know, whether in love or whether, you know, a little bit lack of love or whether a bit strong, how we receive it is dependent on our attitude. And what I mean by that is, I guess one guideline would be when you're receiving rebuke, you know, don't take yourself so highly. Don't think yourself so highly, because then it's going to hurt more. And chances are you're just going to deflect it. And on the other end, don't put yourself so lowly, because then you'll just, it's going to be a pity party, and you're going to be down and out for like days. You know, when you receive a rebuke, consider this, not so highly, not so lowly, but consider that the Spirit has something that he wants to, you know, put on your heart. That despite how it was packaged or how it was delivered, that there's some truth to it. And now the devil will want to take the packaging of that message and totally distort it and say, man, who does that guy think, or who does that girl think she is? She doesn't know who I am. And so we'll totally have you miss the point. God can use, you know, however the packaging has been delivered to you to speak into a truth. And that's what I mean by when I say don't think so highly of yourself. Because if you think so highly of yourself and you know, who is this person and whatnot, then you can miss altogether a truth or a nuance or something that God wants to do in your life. And so, you know, all to say, you know, when a rebuke or a correction comes your way, you know, take it. Don't just write it off. You know, kind of pray over it and say, Lord, you know, what is it that you want me to speak over? You know, what is it that I need to really pinpoint and work on? And you know, I've received many rebukes. You know, you would think after a certain point in your faith or your Christian walk that you become so mature that people don't need to rebuke you. I don't know if it's just me, but I get rebukes like every other week, it seems like. And you know, it can. If you allow it, get in the way of a relationship, right? But if you humble yourself and if you have the right attitude, it's all to say God can work in it and speak through it. Going on and closing out our devotional for this morning, it turns out that as Paul preaches, that the proconsul believes. And I want to point this out as we close in verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now, there's a difference between seeing a demonstration or a manifestation of the Spirit and you know, believing what you see and believing in the Lord. There's a difference between that and becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference between saying, wow, I've known what I've seen, it's impacted me, and I believe, but that has to take a form basically where the, you know, rubber meets the road, and has to come into a form where you become a follower. Where it's not just a, you know, I know many believers who, or many people who have come to church and at some point in their life, sincerely, whether through a message, whether through a demonstration, you know, in their heart, something serious was going on. The Spirit was doing a real work, and I'm not taking away from that. But then you see them a month or 2 months or 3 months later, and nothing's changed. And it's not to say that they didn't have a genuine encounter with the Lord. I'm not saying they didn't, but it wasn't enough. for them to make a transformation, a conforming to the way of Christ. And so just keep that, in your mind that just because you see something and are impacted by it for a season, it always has to lead to a transformation and a deepening in your relationship with the Lord. Amen? So let's bow our heads and just spend some time this morning. And a couple questions that I just want us to kind of meditate on. Are you ministering to the Lord? Are you in a position where literally you are ministering to the Lord? You are literally at His service. Are we in a position that when God calls us, now we're ready, not only ready, but we are able. We are equipped. Missions, retreats, special guest speaker events at church. These shouldn't be the lifeline of your relationship with God. It should not. These should be opportunities where you're already so in love with God and you come to retreat and you want to bless others and you're an intercessor and you're there standing in the gap so that others can come who don't know Christ. Missions should be an opportunity where God, man, you're so in love with the Lord. And you have, a whole year, 365 days, and you want to set apart a day where you're going out and God is just using you as a demonstration to those who do not believe. Special guest speakers, Sean Smith, people that come. All right, but that all starts with our day in and day out, Lord, here am I. Lord, speak. And so just come before the Lord this morning. And just make that a prayer. Lord, if you need to repeat it 10 or 12 times, that's helpful. Lord, here am I. I'm your servant. God, speak to me today. God, make me ready today. God, for I know that you have, people and a purpose. Things that you want me to step into, people you want me to touch. And secondly, today, just wanted to have us meditate. Are we in a position where, of authority or whatnot spiritually, or, I've said this before, all of us are a spiritual mentor to somebody. There's somebody, below us who's still kind of learning and growing in the faith. But are we in a position to correct, teach, rebuke? Let's take care how we treat our brothers and sisters. If it's a rebuke, kind of like a torpedo, one way, that I would say there's no love in it. But if it's face to face and you give that person an opportunity to kind of share his or her heart, and you let the Spirit do the real healing, you let the Spirit do the real correcting. And if you're on the receiving end of that, recently if you've gotten a rebuke or however it was packaged or whoever it came from. Just humble ourselves, not too lowly, not too highly. But just seek the face of the Lord in what He wants to speak in your life. Pastor Nate will lead us in a song. Morning for our prayer focus. Let's just pray for the leaders in our church, those who God has set apart. Everyone is called to serve. There's no distinguishing between that. But there are a handful that God has set apart to serve full time. And so, this is the first week actually in probably 6 weeks that the whole pastoral staff has been together. Different missions trips, Cambodia, Uzbek. Pastor Sam was on a sabbatical, and so we're here together. We're going for the long haul, finish strong in the year. We got the retreat coming up. We have a parenting event coming up next weekend. So let's just pray covering over our pastoral staff, Pastor Sam, his wife Lisa, his children, myself, Annie, Micah, and Noel, Pastor Nate, Ken, and just that God would just bring a covering and protection over us. That God would give us just intimacy and sensitivity to one another, to our church as we serve and bless. Just pray covering over them as we prepare and equip ourselves for what God has for us in this coming season. Let's just cover our pastors. Now let's pray a covering over some of the events that I had just mentioned. We have a parenting seminar coming up next weekend, starting the 18th. If you could just pray for our guest speaker. His name is Dr. Samuel Song from Seattle, Washington. If you could just pray covering over him as he prepares a message and as he prepares counseling for our families, parents, you know, really to equip our parents, to equip the next generation. And with so much being bombarded on them, you know, parents need all the encouragement and strengthening they can get. So just really pray covering over this event. Also for the retreat that's coming up in mid-October. Just for our guest speaker and for all the planning and preparation that goes into that, logistics with the hotel in Nanchan and details and whatnot. Let's just pray covering over these things, and then I'll close this out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. Lord, I thank you, God, for every individual, God, that you have awakened to bring into your presence, God, this hour. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your spirit that instructs and guides us. God, I just pray a blessing over everyone as we walk out of this place. God, that your spirit would go before us. God, that your spirit would be in us. God, that we would eliminate the things that are a barrier, Father God, or that are a hindrance, Father God, from hearing from you clearly, Lord God. Anything that vies for our allegiance, God, that we would cut them down, Father God. And Lord God, that we would set our eyes and our hearts and our ears before you, Lord, today. And God, that we would do this every day with expectation, God, that you have something to speak on us. So we thank you, Lord, that you are ever so constant. Father, we thank you, God, that you love us so much. And we just want to say that we love you, God, this day. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Please continue on praying.